Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Challenge Evasion Wrap-Up Podcast for the finale. I am Ryan Cohn. Joining me this week is Allie Lesher. Allie's back. Allie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little embarrassed. I traditionally hate when people like make these unnecessary retirements from reality television and then just come back the next season. I feel like I retired from this season of the podcast and I am back.
Yeah, your retirement lasted shorter than Camilla's in between seasons. So you got that going for you.
Sorry, everyone. I probably, like most of you, did not expect them to like milk out so many episodes. I texted Brian. Well, you. Now I'm just talking to the audience. I texted you, Brian, like last week in the middle of finals. Like, wait a minute. Is the challenge still going to be on next week? Because I'm going to be done.
It's going to be going on during your next finals. The season is still going on.
That is so real. And I'm a little nervous to do the podcast because I've been just like really happy this season in general. And I feel like everyone hates when I'm happy or like doing something in my life. So like, don't worry. I'm fully back on the East Coast now and my misery will inevitably set in soon. So hopefully we could just all bear with me through this podcast while I remain happy for my final days.
That's the point of the internet, that suck happiness at everyone around them.
Don't worry, New Jersey in combination with the trolls will be doing that in no time. I am confident.
So this was the exact question I was going to ask before we click live, but then we both decided we'll just wait for now. What was the last podcast you were on so we can catch up about where you last stood?
I know Haley subbed for me and then I came back and then I left again. I have the Wikipedia up in front of me in the event that you ask me any historical things that have happened the last five. I've missed 4 weeks, three podcasts.
Okay.
So, because I wanted to thank Lita, Dane, and Mike for subbing for me so beautifully. Let me see. Curry Up, I saw. I mean, I watched all the episodes, but in terms of.
And also,
because, I think Bananas went home the last time I was here.
Yes. Okay. Because me and Mike had this conversation about if the challenge is better as a binge versus week to week. And you actually got to experience that both ways. So what was it like binging the challenge?
So Mike and I actually talked about this too after his podcast.
I just got cucked on my own question.
And I wasn't sure. I don't know what that means, so I'm not going to dig into it. You say cooked?
It's like when someone like steals your thing. It's usually before stealing, someone steals your girl. So like he stole.
Mr. Steal Your Girl. Okay, fine. Mr. Steal Your Question. Yeah, Mike and I talked about this briefly. And I feel like I said this to Mike. I feel like you and I have talked about this, but I'm not sure. Because before Rob asked me to do this podcast many moons ago, before my life went to shit, just kidding. I
feel like that was a shot at me somehow.
I feel like it was in the Rob asked me to do the podcast and shot at you.
Okay.
Unintentionally. As soon as I was saying
it, I felt just like me entering your life is when your life turned to shit. So I don't know. There's a lot of ways it was a shot at me.
You haven't entered my life. Let's be real. Like I've seen you maybe two times.
Yeah, it's all right.
You haven't entered my life yet. Oh God. Should we just re-record? No.
This is classic. This is what we should be doing. The final is absolute dog shit anyway, so this is going to be the most entertaining part of it.
Oh, okay. So what was the question? No. Oh, so before I like barely was qualified to do this podcast, not at all. I would pretty much binge watch the challenge. Like, I feel like I would watch every three episodes. Like, I don't even know that I knew, like, honestly, until I like got involved in Twitter and shit like that, I didn't watch things week to week. Like, I would watch four episodes in a row of the challenge and then come back like the following 3 weeks and watch it like all in one shot because I had no one to talk about it with. I had no one to tweet about it with. I had no one to podcast about it with. So like there was no point. I would just watch like four episodes at a time. I feel like these to be continued episodes, because this also happened with the Bananas episode when Haley subbed for me graciously. I got to watch that to be continued fully just in one shot. I think it's better. I mean, I'm glad. I think honestly, the internet and podcasting and tweeting has made TV back to appointment viewing. So like I enjoy Survivor, let's say, or the challenge more when I'm watching it live and can live tweet week to week and listen to podcasts about it. Then it matters to me, you know, without that stuff. So I feel like the show, if that was your only involvement, go ahead and binge watch the whole season. I did it 3 days ago.
So, and then here we are. We're at the finale. Two-parter.
Wait, what was your take on that? Because I only talked to Mike, and
I said the best way to do it would be kind of like how you used to do it, like chunks at a time. Like, I wouldn't want to do it all in one shot, but like three or four at a time, and then three or four at a time, I think would be the best way to watch it.
Last question, because again, I am ashamed that I haven't been able to listen to the podcast yet, but I will. Did you thank the 5-star reviews?
I thanked most of them. The last one I had, beautiful, I don't think that I thanked, was Spaded Since 95. So thank you, Spaded Since 95.
Great. Well done, Brian. Yeah. I had that in my just done.
I was on top of it.
The list. I believe you were. That wasn't me doubting you.
I even outsourced the Twitter part of the podcast to a great listener who's been providing me with the Twitter stuff the last few weeks.
How did you get somebody to do that for you? I've been asking people to do that for me forever.
I don't know. She slid into my DMs and offered. It was very very nice. Shout out to Megan Schultz.
Wizard Harry.
Yeah.
Okay, before we jump in, can we talk, because I'm sure you talked about this with Mike, but can we talk about the last people standing here for both teams? And I want to hear if you were surprised or not surprised about the final six we have going into the final.
Yeah, we can dive right into that. I don't think you could be doubting CT would be there. Camilla was a bit of a surprise, just given the fact that Laurel and Carmarie are on. But I mean, for the underdogs, I think it was a pretty open field going in. So I wasn't too surprised by a lot of the people that were there. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like I have to totally walk back every disparaging thing I suggested about Camilla before we started or on her first episode, because I was like, is she even really a champion? Like, this was like really trying to stretch out for the girls. I mean, kudos to her for beating Laurel in like a physical and mental combined comp with the knot tying. I forget what it was called, but I love that challenge. And so I just like Camilla has my respect moving forward. CT, yeah. I mean, I love how he was like at the end of this episode, like more concerned about changing diapers than getting fit for the challenge and can still pull it out. When I saw Darrell, you know, beast mode Darrell this season, I kind of thought he was going to be the surefire spot at the end. Glad to see CT here, though, and not surprised. I think Nelson and Corey are no real surprise here for the underdogs. And Nicole is somebody we always thought would sort of stand out immediately if they ever put her on the challenge. But I was pleasantly surprised to see Ashley make her way through. I thought she properly gamed Amanda to be able to, and I know I'm going back to the weeks you've already podcasted about, but in that final three elimination in the bloodbath, which I really did like the underdog bloodbath, to be the one to say, let's all move to the middle, and then still be the one to ring the bell first, was just very smart strategy to sort of foreshadow how Ashley would almost be a surprising mental force in the challenge, or at least surprising to me. So kudos to all six. Yay.
Yeah. So this is something we debated all season because we didn't know until basically the last week. What did you make of how they did the final? In fact, that like a free agent style where they would switch off who they would be partnered with and then do an individual, and it wasn't a team final.
I love that. Yeah, I think we were expecting it to go individual the whole at some point, and that never happened in the final weeks. But I liked this team element, the way that they had to sort of strategically choose their teams. I don't love that, like, Camilla was sort of blaming that at the end, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I also like that they had an individual portion. My complaint about this final is the same as every final that comes down to time segments, is like it crushes the momentum. It sort of takes, I think, the audience out of appreciating how difficult these are. I feel like most of the viewers probably, not to put words in your mouth or anyone else's mouth, probably feel like this didn't seem so difficult. I know that can't be true, but it just doesn't have the same impact, I think, as when you're like on a long, long, long journey that doesn't stop. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the challenge final, I think, is broke. I think they need to go back to the drawing board and reevaluate how they're doing this. They're going the wrong way in terms of extending it more days. I think they need to go back the other way. And if anything, just make it like a shorter, compact, like, who, if it's a 3-hour thing or whatever, like, don't have to make it a 3-day thing. Just make it a race. Like, that's what makes it fun and entertaining, when it's like whoever gets to the top wins or finishes first wins. Like, that's what they really need to start going back to.
I still think that challenge, I think it was on X's 100, whatever, with Jay and Jenna, I think, whatever that X's was, where they had like the circuit where like one of the parts was like holding up that insanely heavy thing, and the girl had to like look at the puzzles, and it's like some of the challenges they have that like we always talk about like showing the future of the final are better than the final. Like just exactly what you're saying. Just give me one circuit, give me some stations, whatever, and don't do anything overnight. We don't need it. It just kind of breaks the flow.
I almost wouldn't have minded if they kind of brought back what they did last season with Rivals like 7 with whoever got like the most points throughout, like rather than doing a time like between like the girls and the guys, like, all right, if whoever won gets a point or 2 points, whoever finishes second gets a point, and they just do it that way rather than timing. That way you can actually easily keep track of who's in the lead and who's behind.
I'm jumping ahead, but like the fact that this came down to 2 minutes had zero impact on me because I had no idea. Like for all I assumed, like CT had dominated every single time. And like the fact that like in reality, it was 2 minutes and 20 whatever seconds, like shocked me when I heard that. And I was like, why didn't I feel like the edge of my seat the whole time that this whole thing really came down to 2 minutes?
Yeah, they should have said the time, like they should have said like CT and Nelson going into the last round are separated by 5, 6, whatever minutes. And it's like, holy shit, this is actually really close going into the last thing. Yeah, like I thought CT was just cruising. I mean, he won pretty much most of the round. So I figured he had a nice little lead. So I didn't think he had any chance of losing. But 2 minutes, that's like nothing.
I feel like we need a challenge think tank like Steven and Rob do, but like with less qualified people talking about it and less people writing in questions and suggestions.
Yes, because the final, it sucks because the final, it could be really good. They can make it something really entertaining and it's just going really the wrong way.
This leads me to so many questions I want to ask about the whole totality of the season, but I'll save those for the end because then this podcast would just be over.
Okay, we'll save them for the end. So,
but I'm writing a note to myself to remind me.
I'll set an alarm for myself. Right. Allie asks questions. Okay. So, I mean, we could just take it in order, I guess, of the rounds, I guess. So we start off with the swimming with Nelson's inner monologue was kind of one of the stars of the final, I felt. His very, very monotone, like, come on, Nelson, you can do it. This is all you got. You got to give it everything you got. He kind of gave that for every round, but I found it entertaining by the end. I almost found myself liking Nelson near the end, which is like a weird place to be.
I was going to say to you, when Nelson finishes 2 minutes from behind CT, like at this point, do you like Nelson? You know, like, is it beyond just this reverence for the challenge? Also, nobody takes this more seriously than Nelson to the point where I have a podcast about the challenge and I feel bad for how seriously Nelson takes the challenge.
Yeah, he had a quote that I don't remember on which day it was, but he basically said like, this was like building towards the most important achievement of my life. And at some point, you just have to, for someone who loves this show so much, you have to respect someone who loves the show even more than you do. And that's kind of where Nelson is. And I guess you're going to have to respect it. At least he doesn't threaten to quit like Ashley does. So you got that going for him.
Like, let's just be clear. Two people who voluntarily for 3 years, fast approaching 3 years of their lives, have podcasted about the challenge for free with nothing but trouble and decent times are pitying Nelson for how she like it, whatever, not pitying, but yes, it's pity, but it's also respect.
Yeah,
but a little pity. There's definitely some pity there.
I mean, of all, like, you need to see 2020s of people who've overcome such struggles in their life to place in a challenge final. Like, that's really when you make it as a person.
The only thing I have down for this swimming section, and that's not true, this is the first thing I have down, is dude, I can't swim past. Like, anytime I see this, like, long distance swimming, I just, like, flash back to when a lifeguard had to rescue me on a deep water test, like, not too long ago. And I feel like I've said that on the podcast before, but I just want to reiterate, I will drown. It's fast.
So not too long ago, is that over under 5 years?
Well, when's the age they stopped making you take deep water tests? Because it was definitely like the last time I ever took it.
I don't know. I don't think I've taken a deep water test since I was like 11.
All right. I'm 26. I was probably between 13 and 15. Like, this was like not a joke. Like, I was like too old to be rescued and was like, I was signaling though. I wasn't drowning. I was like, all right, I'm done. I tapped out.
I always picture when I see long water challenges, Leroy sitting on a computer on typing into YouTube new ways to learn how to swim. That's my picture.
What I'm hearing is Leroy and I might be like the perfect team in real life. Forget the challenge.
You guys as partners for this challenge would be quite the sight to see.
I'll sit poolside with Leroy. How about that?
There you go.
Anyway, I don't even know. So, swimming is hard.
So we have to talk about perhaps of all, like, this show brings a lot of really, really, really stupid moments and a lot of really, really stupid people. Was there,
what?
I know, I know I don't like bringing like historical questions, but was Corey and Nicole counting triangles on a sign the stupidest thing that has ever happened on the show?
I think the stupidest thing that's ever happened is that the producers did not let them take the entire puzzle with them when Nicole suggested that. That was amazing.
It's creative thinking. Like, you gotta give her that.
This was one of the funniest things I can remember. Like, when they start going to the sign and counting the triangles, like the letter A in the sign, was like, you can't write that shit. That is like why I watch reality television. It's,
yeah, like if you go, if someone in like a pitch room writing, oh, what's something really stupid someone can do? They count A's and like as triangles. Like that's, I mean, that's really, that makes me feel bad for this country. Like, how do these people come out of our school systems and think we should read the sign and use an A as a triangle? And what if it was a lowercase a? That doesn't count then. Only the uppercase A's count as triangles?
I was looking at the sign and I was like, okay, there are no triangles. And then they're counting up to like 9, 10 triangles on the sign. And I'm like, there is not a single triangle on that sign.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, them trying to, and let alone them trying to do division. I don't know what they're like. They were going to whip out their fingers and start writing on it. It was, oh my God.
Whew. I will say, I can't stand Nicole let out one of those, like, I'm going to lose the challenge because of a puzzle. Like, you know damn well, it's like Ashley said this, like, as the challenge went on, but like, you know damn well there are going to be puzzles, and I can't stand when like the physical people devalue like being competent at the puzzles. Like, oh, suddenly if I lose the challenge because of a puzzle, it's like a fluke, as opposed to if you lose the challenge because of a physical situation,
right,
then it somehow like makes sense.
Yeah, and you're also just losing as a person in society that you go to a sign to count triangles. Like, really, really reevaluate your life when you're doing that. Or just can't divide it by three. Like, hello, just like, okay, the number has to be divisible by three. There's only a certain number of numbers that it could be.
Spoken by two people doing a podcast about the challenge.
Oh my God. Whew.
I did love Corey's like thirst for knowledge here. When the producers finally like tell them whatever, he's like running the clock down and being like, no, but could you just like tell me so I can know?
Right.
Like, can you teach me this now?
For my future times when I'm counting triangles, I really need to know how to count a triangle.
I love that. Like, you know, a never-ending curiosity from Corey. Yeah. But you mentioned, I was, like, impressed when Ashley gave him the puzzle to just be like, well, it has to be a number, like, a multiple of three. That, to me, like, wasn't the most I mean, especially, like, you're in the game, your adrenaline's pumping, and I just didn't really, I probably underestimated her and everyone on the challenge. So I was, like, pretty impressed that she basically broke the puzzle.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley was, I mean, obviously it's not really a jarring statement to say that she was impressive given the fact that she won, but throughout this whole final, she was very, very impressive of her physical skills, her mental skills, most of all. Like, she doesn't seem like the smartest person. She was cracking these puzzles all over the place.
I was thinking, I watched, I think, like the last five episodes all in one, and I will say, like, Ashley might be the perfect challenge contestant. It like completely in all facets of everything I look for in a challenge contestant. I didn't think she necessarily had the athletic prowess necessarily until this season, or we really see, I mean, she's performed well in the past, but like to see her win and come out strong in the puzzles and be outsmarting her other contestants, like, and also we have the moment where you mentioned like she threatens to quit. Did I love that? No. And I thought it was amazing when Nelson was like, okay, clearly she's doing this for camera time. That was crazy, but you want to see that, right? You want to see somebody who's willing to go absolutely batshit crazy, and it's rare, besides like a Camilla and occasionally Laurel will get into it, but like it's rare that you see somebody who's got the hookup drama, the craziness, the threatening to quit factor, and can friggin' beast a challenge.
Right.
I'm like all in on Ashley forever.
Yeah, normally what we see is like the really good competitors get kind of boring in the house, and that's why you need to balance it out with, you know, like a Jasmine or someone like that who's going to suck in the challenges, but it could be entertaining in the house. So yeah, seeing Ashley as like a five tool player is pretty fun.
One thing I want to say about this challenge, and I know we're going beat by beat, and we've sort of already talked about the momentum of the challenge as a whole, but I did find myself getting pretty bored throughout these two episodes, especially when it's like the paddle boarding part that's coming up. I mean, I thought it was entertaining in the sense that Corey and Nicole make the most bonehead move after their previous most bonehead move to discard their oars and just paddle with their arms. But other than that, I felt like this was the same as the kayaking, is the same as like any the swimming, really. And I just kind of was like, not taking a snooze, but I was a little bored. I don't know.
I thought them chucking the paddle away was going to cost them even more. Like the way they so purposely zoomed in on the paddle, like floating away, I thought wherever they were going to get to, they were going to need to use their paddle to do something else. I mean, I guess it probably just cost them more time and made them more tired. But I really thought there was going to be something even more detrimental that they didn't have their paddle for anymore.
I mean, I just think, like, if they didn't, let's just say they paddled like normal, like, what would they have had to fill that spot? Like, I feel like the producers are lucky that Corey and Nicole, like, did as terribly as they did and consistently. Because otherwise, that segment is, like, completely boring without them completely imploding. And who would have thought they would fling their paddle? Like, I feel like the zoom in on the paddle was, like, for lack of anything else to show.
Right. I agree. They could have easily condensed some of this stuff. And for this, like, I know they hyped this up. They had, like, a three-day final. Like, day one was, that was it. Like, after this, they were just done. Kind of they sat around doing nothing for a while until their like time buster thing. But it was where they had time to like rest and relax and take a nap and eat. Like that's not what we've even seen from 2 day finals.
That's why I have to believe these challenges are harder than they appear. Like this challenge must have been grueling. But I just think whoever designed it and filmed it and edited it, whatever, like all parties involved did not consider enough like how to make it the viewer appreciate the difficulty. Because to us on the couch, I mean, it always seems easier, but it seemed pretty easy.
Yeah, I agree.
Granted, I would be dead, but
I think really spacing it out over two episodes is not the best. I think if you condense this all into just one jam-packed episode, you think by the end of it, holy crap, they did so much stuff. But when you do it over two episodes and you kind of like drag it out a little bit, it seems like, oh, like, I don't know, you get the rest and relax and recuperate and it doesn't seem as bad. Which, like you said, I mean, the 10-mile kayak, like that's absolutely exhausting, but they kind of just didn't make it seem like it was that bad.
I have a question for you. When Camilla and CT finished the challenge puzzle and it's the best time of the day, and Camilla says like she wasted CT as a partner. I don't know if I said CT originally, but whatever. So wasted CT as a partner. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any merit to that? Camilla's like sort of complaints that she didn't strategically pick her partner well enough.
I think so. Cause you don't really know what's coming up. So you don't know like what CT would be best for. And also I think it's just there's something to the fact of wanting to just get a lead. Like if you just get a lead in a final, it's sometimes hard to come back and reclaim it, especially because, you know, people might get mentally defeated, they may do something stupid that's going to cost them along the way. I think I have no problem with trying just to get out in front and just taking it one step at a time.
And you look like CT, Nelson struggled in the swimming, Corey struggled throughout, and CT struggled like on the second leg with the ropes. So, you know, it's like, I mean, all the bros were kind of struggling this go around. And like you said, you don't know. I mean, you could probably guess that the third leg, what they assumed would probably be the last leg, would be the worst. But that's like not something to, you know, bet your life in the game on. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't really think Camilla had a choice. Like, I think it would have been shocking if Camilla picked one of the underdogs. Like in the 2 seconds they had to pair up, she would have had to like spring away from CT.
Yeah, it would have been weird if the champ separated on the first round for sure.
Follow-up question, completely unrelated for a change. I know I'm normally so on topic with such a good flow, but when TJ checks the puzzle, is he really like when Jeff Probst checks the puzzles on Survivor? I believe that Jeff Probst is checking the puzzles or like has an earpiece. Like, I don't know. I feel like somehow Jeff is like on it, and maybe that's my own ignorance. Is TJ really the one with the like last once over on the puzzle saying they're good? Are their producers like just off camera giving the signal?
I'd be shocked if TJ is even paying attention the entire time. There's no way. There's definitely a producer in his ear. I think like when I think it was for the first time, Buster, when he like revealed the water in the jar, like his reaction, I think, was just a genuine reaction. Like he didn't know who won. Like he was just revealing it. Like, oh, this is this person. Oh, this is this person's. Interesting. He had no idea.
Fair enough. They do a good job making it look like he knows what's up then. Do you think they have just like those old timey photographers where you used to have like the neck holder to like keep still because like taking a picture of you took like 300 hours? Do you think they have one of those like braces on TJ to keep him like looking in the right direction?
That could be it. I could maybe.
What a pull.
They reward him with a treat at the end of the day if he pays attention long.
Oh my god, I love him. Okay, I'm just totally breaking out of who cares, whatever. Do you think, and I was wondering this with the Are You the One Second Chances thing, like, do they offer TJ the host position of that Champs versus Pros, whatever? Or, like, do they purposely cast somebody else? Like, did he pass on that?
I don't know. I would say they... I think they probably didn't offer. That was a very weird, I don't know. That was a deep...
Oh my god, I was taking a sip, and it just came out my nose. Oh my god. Sorry.
I didn't want to say anything mean about TJ, but I don't know. I feel like they, this is going to bring some attention to the show, and I think they wanted a more famous person, which is why they got Victor Cruz to do it. So
is Victor Cruz more famous? I don't know Victor Cruz.
I mean, I think if you ask a general person, Victor Cruz or TJ Lavin.
I'm a general person.
Well, because you obviously know TJ because you've been watching the challenge, but if you go to a random person who has never seen MTV,
how dare you?
They probably know Victor Cruz more.
Oh my god, I'm marking this. This is like 25 minutes into the podcast, and Brian goes, I don't know. Okay, sorry.
I'm also sick, so like there's gonna be weird noises coming out of my mouth.
Oh yeah, that's what it is. What about the other like 364 days of the year?
You know, yeah, I don't know. But yes, what do you think? Do you think they asked TJ to do it?
Honestly, I don't even know my name after this stretch of 30 seconds. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was thinking that with like Ryan Devlin. Like, do they want continuity or do they want to just like sort of like have separation between the series? I don't know is the answer.
There you go.
I don't even know why they're doing that show, to be honest, but we could talk about that another time or later or just never.
We could do never. So what did you make of Corey and Nicole's decisions for the time buster? Also, quick side note, why is it called the time buster? Shouldn't it be called like a time adder, like an added time?
No, but you're like busting someone's time. Like, I'm busting the time, like the good time.
I guess
like
so.
The police at an underage drinking party.
Yeah, I guess so. All right.
I don't condone underage drinking. I don't know why I said that. I'm old as shit. Anyway.
So what did you make of their decisions? Corey and Nicole, they gave it to CT and Ashley.
Okay. You're jumping ahead of all of the action we have to talk about this podcast. First of all, what did you think of him just returning to the shelter? Did you like that callback?
I guess I didn't add anything to it. I would have been really upset if they just went back to the resort and were able to just chill there, because that would be absolute bullshit. At least they were in a not pleasant living situation. But I mean, they treat this freaking shelter like it's Death Valley. Like, it's not like they have things to sleep on. They have freaking insect nets. You know how much people in Survivor would kill to have an insect nest? Like, that's insane.
I just loved like how stupid it was that like MTV took the time to like burn down half of it, like to make it look burnt. Like, that's, there are no bathrooms. Like, suddenly like a fire. I was waiting for like them to do like TJ comes and is like, listen, guys, like a fire swept in here. The spirit of the island is angry. Like, I was waiting for this like bullshit thing to end with like there was like scorched shelter, but they didn't even give you that. It was just like, we burned it. Like, it's just like so ridiculous. There's no bathrooms. Deal with it. I don't know. There must be like some diseases on the island transmitted by mosquitoes over there at the shelter. Because like,
I thought you're going somewhere else with diseases transmitted by something with these people.
That's like not newsworthy. I just I don't know. I kind of liked that they went back to the shelter, because in a way it reminded me how like, and we'll talk about this when your alarm goes off for me to ask questions about it, but like, I had forgotten that the shelter happened on this season. So it was like a nice little callback to the shelter, and I thought it was like cute that Camille and CT got to see the squalor they had been living in. And I actually liked these little time busters that were like reasons to keep you up, more so than like, I think of the time where they had to like stand in the square at the subway station, like waiting for something to happen, carrying briefcases. And like,
wasn't that also when like a random production guy came in and like kicked them out? Wasn't that, that was part of a file, right?
Get out of here. Gotta get out of here. Whatever. I want to call it Bloodwater. What is it? Like,
Bloodlines.
Bloodlines.
Yeah, that was amazing.
But like, you know, they always have that like stupid, or like, I almost like when it's like one person can sleep, one person can work. But I liked these time busters. I thought Nicole is ripe to come back for many, many challenges to come based on her completely horrible methodology here. Granted, it ended up being the right move because Ashley won, but I thought at this stage in the game, it was insane to give it to Ashley. What'd you think?
And the biggest thing was her reasoning made absolutely no sense. She's like, I'm not doing this out of personal reasons. I'm just doing this for the game and I'm doing it to Ashley because I hate her.
Yeah. I mean, I think Nicole is so full of shit that she doesn't even know what she's saying, honestly. It's kind of like me. That's not true. It is. I think Corey unsurprisingly made a smart decision. Nicole made like a completely emotional decision that didn't even make sense. I didn't even realize their beef was like that strong that she'd like fuck up her chance at $100,000.
Right. And I mean, who knows what we didn't really get to see the girl's time. Like, who knows if she actually did make the right decision, if she, you know, she could have done something better. So who knows?
Like, she could have made second if she had busted.
Yeah. Right.
What?
Because we didn't see the time, so.
One thing is, like, Nicole saying she doesn't deserve to be here. Does Ashley not deserve to be there? I feel like she won some challenges. She never, like, performed horribly.
Yeah, I don't know why Nicole deserves there more than Ashley. I mean, they both won, like, the same amount of stuff, I feel like. No one really performed that much better. They both totally deserve to be there. No one... That was one of the good things about this, the way the season broke out, is, like, everyone earned their spot there just because how they kind of, like, broke it down. So everyone deserved to be there.
Yeah, and entertainment-wise, I feel like Ashley even provided more entertainment. So in my eyes, she definitely deserved to be there.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Boom. Take that, Nicole. I'm trying to look at her stats, but, like, who even cares?
You have stats in front of you?
I told you I had the Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
I'm prepared, but I don't know what any of these charts mean. Wikipedia uses so many colors.
Yeah, it's like the first time you use Excel for the and then you're like using all these formats and colors and stuff like that, and then you realize in real life you never use any of that stuff.
I'm strict with my Excel. I don't have quote unquote fun, okay?
Straight, one, two, straight gray. That's the only color I use is gray.
That's so sad. One, two. Yeah, they both had two wins, so like suck it. Yeah. All right. Actually, Ashley had three wins. How about that?
Boom, boom, roast.
You won the final, baby.
Day two.
All right. I think my hiatus should have been forever. I have a question in Nelson's, and like, I have a Nelson question for you.
Sure.
And now that you're a big fan of Nelson, I feel like you'll be honored to answer it. What's the worst thing you've ever tasted? Or actually, it's a Nicole question because Nicole said it to herself about the horse urine soaked eggs.
The worst thing I've ever tasted. Insert joke here.
Serious question. I'm taking notes. I want to avoid it at all costs.
We had this like gallon of water in my parents' house that we like forgot about, and it was like all the way in the back of a closet that must have been there for like 5 or 6 years. And either it was the water or like the plastic went bad, and I didn't realize it because I drank it, and it was like absolute trash. I spit it out immediately.
Sweet water over like how long estimated was it there?
It must have been at least 6 or 7 years because the expiration date was by a couple years. It was like all the way in the back of our closet, so like we didn't even realize it was been there this whole time because we just kept putting other waters in front of it, and then eventually I just grabbed it.
Hold on.
It was really bad.
This is going to take about 25 minutes, so if you're not interested in hearing more about this, fast forward 35 minutes. Okay, water has an expiration date on it?
I think it does.
I'm not questioning you. No, I'm trying to learn.
This is the thing. It's not that the water expires at that date. It's the plastic that the gallon is made of. That's the expiration
date. Okay, wait. Does Tupperware need an expiration date now? I'm going to like go and throw out all my...
But if you buy like a water gallon from like ShopRite or something like that, there's an expiration date on it. And it's the expiration date of the plastic that it's... Or not the... Whatever the... I don't know if it's plastic. Whatever the gallon is made of.
It's plastic. So you drank 6-year-old water. It had previously been open and somebody had drank directly?
No, it wasn't open. That's why. Like, I just grabbed the water because I just wanted another water and it just was done. It was toast. Boom.
You were betrayed by 7-year-old unopened water. Yes. What did it take? I want you to describe it. I know you can't really because it was the worst thing you ever tasted.
I mean, it was like very like metally. It was disgusting. Wow. It was disgusting.
Oh my God. Okay. That's better than I could have imagined, honestly. Yeah. I have like many more questions, but I'll ask you another time.
What's yours?
Like, if we're still doing this podcast in like you know, 100 years, I'm going to like break in the middle of a sentence and be like, so wait, about that water jug.
We should buy like a water jug now. And if we're doing this podcast in 10 years, we should buy it and like store it somewhere. And in 10 years,
like
we're
a still
doing, yeah. And if we're still doing this, we'll cheers to a cup from it.
Cheers to the cup.
We'll drink from it and we'll experience it together.
Wow, what a beautiful sentiment. I'll take that with me forever.
That's what I go
all right
for.
I'm gonna go bury a jug of water, but like I want to do like one of those water cooler things. Like I want to like really amp it up. I want this to be special. It's like my version of a magnum of champagne is like the water cooler plastic I will save for the next 50 years.
Sure, we'll lashify it.
All right, if anyone's still listening to this, God bless you. Because you maybe sneezed during this podcast. And
I also have a question because I was very for the listing of these foods. Aren't crickets like a popular food now? Aren't people eating crickets?
I believe crickets are like a protein supplement and like they're trying to like make a move for crickets to replace like red meat and other less sustainable food sources. But like, are you eating crickets? Are you using cricket flour?
No, but I'm pretty sure I saw like at like Seattle Mariner baseball games, they have like cricket chips like sold and they're like selling out crazy. Like they're just like, they're very popular.
If you ask a general person, are they eating crickets?
I think it's just that they look bad, but from everything I've heard and read about, like they're actually a good, like you said, good source of protein, and they don't even taste that bad. So I guess it's just the look of it, but I don't think crickets is like bad to eat.
There are a lot of things I don't eat that are good sources of protein.
That's true.
Okay, well, good for you. Get your cricket on, girl. Yeah. I support you. But I like was kind of wincing during this whole thing. And I mean, they really pulled out all the stops. Maybe not the crickets, but like horse. I can't get over the horse urine, ooh, like fermented eggs or whatever.
It's grasshoppers, not crickets.
I think crickets are being pushed as this. Oh, you mean the Seattle Mariners thing?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's grasshoppers.
But crickets, I think everything else you said about crickets was spot on. But not for me. That's going to be a hard pass for me, in case it wasn't clear. I think this round sucks to be doing with your bae if you're Camilla.
Yeah, that's a tough. It's tough to see. You don't want to see your bae puking all over the place and throwing up on other people. That's tough.
Like you're puking in unison is like not exactly like a romantic, you know, like date. But I don't think they were long for this world.
Hey, it led to Nick and what's her name being engaged.
Oh, Ashley? Amanda? Good for you,
Victoria,
Vanessa.
There we go. I was getting there eventually.
Yeah, I have nothing else to say about this food thing because I really was like averting my eyes the whole time because I'm a baby and wouldn't eat crickets or grasshopper chips.
Yeah. Just classic Nelson here. Also, he goes, I wrote down this quote. He's like, these worms suck. These definitely aren't gummy bears. And he's like, why can't he say they're not gummy worms? Like gummy worms are a thing, too. Such an idiot.
Because he's exhausted. The final is so hard, Brian.
Classic Nelson. All right. So the rope is the next part.
I was dying to see CT. Like CT on this, like had me cracking up until he quit, and then I felt bad.
Yeah, I think this may have been the hardest thing, and this is actually where I really started to like question my Nelson hate because he killed this, and to see CT struggling really badly, it was like, whoa, maybe Nelson is actually really good.
Yeah, I like would have thought this would be impossible because like it looked like it was such a steep incline for a ropes course. And I feel like I've shared my ropes course picture before on Twitter in relation to the challenge made with Survivor. But like I am deathly afraid of heights. And also I have a like amusement park rule that if the rides came off a truck, I'm not getting on them. So, you know, there's like temporary fairs they set up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they'll have, like, a scrambler, and then they'll have, like, a little roller coaster. Scrambler, fine. But if a roller coaster came off of a truck and is going to be deconstructed in 2 days and put back in the truck, I'm not getting on it. So, like, I'm afraid of, like, things breaking. So, like, to have the double, like, makeshift obstacle course and height is just, like, a double no-no. And I had to do one of these. And this is, like, a team building retreat version, not like a MTV's trying to screw you for $100,000 version.
Right.
And I barely like got off the pole. I was like, I have a picture of me like grabbing onto this pole for dear life, like crying with like a hairnet and a helmet on.
Oh boy.
It is so pathetic. So like can't swim, can't do ropes courses. Not that MTV was knocking on my door to be on the challenge, but like, God forbid I was ever in this situation.
This is like the anti-resume.
Yeah, but yeah, again, kudos. I think Nelson made a really strong showing here. Mental stability wise, not so much, but future of performance in the challenge, like, gotta give it to him.
If anything, I think Nelson got screwed a little bit because I don't know what the time limits they normally give, but I feel like 30 minutes was like a little too short for this. They should have had even a longer time limit. And if they had the time limit of any more length, Nelson wins the whole thing because he just killed it. And, you know, CT clearly wasn't going to be able to do it. So if the time limit was 45 minutes an hour, Nelson wins.
I feel like 30 minutes is a standard penalty.
But is it a penalty of 30 minutes? I thought it was just like if you have to do it in 30 minutes. I feel like there should have been a penalty for not even doing it.
So I just, okay, interesting. So you think, what if it was like the time? No, that wouldn't be fair. I was thinking it was like the time they tried plus 30 minutes, but that would just incentivize people to never start.
I think that's why CT said let's not even do it. He's like, I think they said they had 30 minutes to do it. And after they fell the second time, he's like, we're already at like 25 minutes. We might as well just not even try. We'll just take the extra, whatever, the few extra minutes.
Yeah, I think his also thing was like, let's conserve energy. But yeah. I don't know that they have a good idea. Like, did he say we have 25 minutes left? Like, I don't think he has a good idea of how much time has passed.
Well, I guess he figured if they went twice.
Like his internal clock.
Yeah, it's like if we went twice, we only have 30 minutes, we're probably not going to be able to do it. Especially since now I'm gassed.
Yeah, I mean, save this for our challenge think tank that we're definitely going to do.
For sure.
I mean, if the interest, I think we've been trying to figure out something to do for a 3-year podcast anniversary. This isn't bad.
Yeah, it could
it's
be
not bad. It's not there. Bad. Not bad. So that's interesting. Would you have rather Nelson won and CT have gotten a 45 minute penalty?
Absolutely not. I'm very happy the way it broke out. I'm just saying, I felt like Nelson kind of got screwed because this seemed like the most difficult part and he killed it. So
can we get to the swamp water and why the hell, like, in another, this part made me think that it was Nicole's idea to get rid of the paddles, even though the TV made it seem like it was Corey's. Why is Nicole taking her shoes off in a place that you clearly are supposed to like walk in the river on rocks?
Yeah, it's very, very odd. If you cut your foot right there, you're just done. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to do the final going forward if you can't really walk. So I can't believe they even let her do that. I figured they'd be like, no, you have to keep your shoes on for protection.
Pro tip, Nicole, if you win 100 grand, you could buy a new pair of sneakers.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about the shoes that were definitely given to you anyway when you first started the challenge.
Yeah, that was not a good decision.
Boo.
Boo.
I'm just gonna sit here and boo people. Like, I wish let's just do like Doug Benson does, like movie interruptions where we just like watch an episode and give commentary, but all of our commentary is just like booing. Like, we're the old Muppets in the box.
Another idea for the 3-year anniversary pod.
You know, I'm just like brainstorming like mad here.
We're think tanking our think tank.
Everyone's excited.
So then we get to the puzzle.
Oh, wait, P.S. I like seem way more chill about the time penalty, but in my notes I wrote, when they just decide to quit on the ropes, it's so frustrating. So I guess I agreed with you when I was watching the show. There you go.
In the moment, you're right on the same page.
I've chilled out on it, but I did not. I think because at least they made it seem like CT tried, and I feel like Corey, after one go, she's like, forget it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Corey, by the way, I don't think I've said this yet, but Corey sucks. He is awful at these final things. He is so bad. Needed to be said.
Yeah. He's just a big baby. I thought, did I like make up that he did well with his cousin?
I thought, didn't they finish second?
Yeah. He performed well despite his bum knee, and it was like this whole thing.
Yeah. I don't remember who finished third that year, but whoever finished third that year must feel really bad about themselves.
We don't have it. No, because people are gonna write.
It was probably Jenna.
So
wasn't it Jenna? Was that Jenna and Brianna?
Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah, so there you go.
Ooh. What is it? Bloodwater?
Shot at Jenna. Bloodlines. It was double Jenna.
Yeah, well, we have to follow up on the bakery. When I've been gone, have we followed up on that bakery tip or what?
I think she's like not working there anymore and is doing something else, but it's right here in New York. I don't know why I've never tried to go.
We need a podcast trip.
Yeah, I mean, it might be in Queens, I think. So.
Yeah, there goes the hesitation. Then it's like, oh wait, no, it's I think it's in California. Forget it.
Any excuse just to not see you.
Yes, confirmed. They beat Jen and Brianna, which okay, like maybe we're giving Mitch and Corey too much credit. Yeah,
okay. The puzzle. This was basically like a game you would do at restaurants when you were a kid, right? They would kind of put this on the table to entertain you.
Yeah. I'm like pretty good at puzzles. I'm notoriously terrible. basically my whole evaluation of this episode is how terrible I'd be at the challenge, and yet it was easy.
Like, this final was so freaking easy, but I'm awful at everything that they do.
But yeah, this is like Ashley taps right into it. Like, I've done this puzzle a million times. One thing is like, and Corey comes in third on every single one, and it's like always trying to blame his partner. Like, I have to blame Corey for not reading the right poll clue correctly. Right as in directional, not correct. Mm. The wrong right clue. Anyway, because he's like a huge baby and he takes the 7 Camilla, and it's just like, come on, man, you've screwed up every single time and your individual one. I mean, not that he screwed it up, but like, you didn't make up for it on the individual one.
Right.
So like, quit your whining.
Yeah. At a certain point, if you're blaming your different partners for everything, eventually maybe it's just you. And I think it's just him.
Agreed. So. Oh, one thing I noticed here is like, and maybe he was doing this the whole time, but I only noticed it on this round, is when Nelson and Nicole finished second, TJ says, time, Nelson, time, Nicole. Like, are they doing individual times within the team?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think that was the case. I figured it would be like whoever's the last one to show up, that's their team time.
That's what I thought. But the way TJ announced that, like, I was like, wow, that makes no sense that they would do it like that, because it just incentivizes you to like bail on your partner and start sprinting.
Yeah, I didn't think that was the case. Weird.
Anyway, third place Corey continues his reign of terror shit talking back at the shelter. Like, were you surprised that he like lashed out on Camilla so quickly here?
Not really, because I mean, Corey, this is he's the obnoxious, cocky guy. He's not gonna even let reality tamper that, so he's gonna keep talking.
Also, I'm just realizing, did we have a communication breakdown? Was I supposed to pull the questions?
No, I pulled the questions, but all the questions are pretty basically like a general, it's like all the things at the end or whatever.
Oh, sorry. I was just like, wait a minute.
All good.
I'm really struggling and I'm going to pay for it in dividends, I'm sure, in the reviews, but whatever. Yeah, I felt bad for Camilla here, honestly. Like, she handled it like a champ, because I don't really think she was emotionally invested in Corey at all.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this was just not a good look for Corey this whole episode.
No, it wasn't. And it was mostly like, if he just took it on the chin and be like, you know what, I sucked, I really didn't do well, it was like constant like, oh, my partner. Like, that's like, it's one thing to suck, it's another thing to suck and to not take blame for it. So it's a bad look for him.
Agreed. With this beating thing, should somebody have slept while the other beat it? I kind of was surprised that all the teams were doing two people on the beads at a time.
I was surprised it took them. I thought at some point they were going to like be like, you know what, why don't we just all just not do this for like 3 hours? We'll just take a break. Everyone.
Wasn't that sort of what happened?
Yeah, I thought they would do that earlier on, though. So
I don't know. I was just, because it didn't really feel like it was helpful to have the two people. Like, it kind of seemed like you could do it just as quickly, like reaching into the barrel of beads as opposed to getting it from your partner.
Yeah, it was,
but maybe I wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, putting together friendship bracelets is not exactly the most entertaining thing to watch on a final, but I think that's another one of those things where if you're doing it for 6 hours, it's one of those, another one was like, oh, it doesn't seem that bad, but must be absolutely mind-numbingly awful to do. As you saw, Camilla went crazy.
Boring as hell to me, but I just like, was surprised they weren't like taking shifts.
Yeah.
But I also thought the them all taking a break, I thought was like producer intervention, because then when TJ came back, it was like the Razzie goes to TJ for acting like parents who caught their kids at a sleepover, like misbehaving.
Well, my guess is I don't think the producers are probably happy they did that. I think they're probably pissed. That's why they sent TJ and they're like, you know what, just end this challenge. Like, this is stupid.
Oh, I thought that was a complete setup, that they were like, guys, just go eat and TJ will come in and like act pissed. Cause TJ was like, that was like complete bullshit. Fine, all right, forget it. Like, I just thought that was like, and they'd they had beated like 2,000 beats. They'd clearly been at it for a while.
Hmm. Interesting. So, who won that one? Yeah, Ashley and CT?
Yeah. And were you surprised Ashley gave it to Nicole?
No, I think that made sense because of how badly Camilla just did. It kind of, I think she probably thought Nicole was her tougher competitor, and she probably also just used the rationale of just like tit for tat.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of like a neutral decision, but I would say Camilla was like, my assessment would be that Camilla would be the tougher competitor, but like given that Nicole just finished second, like fine pick overall.
Yeah, and obviously CT would give it to Nelson, so. That made the most sense.
Yeah. I mean, the boys' heat was like much clearer the whole way that it was going to be between CT and Nelson, I think, than the girls, at least from my perspective.
Yeah. But again, like, it would have been cool to be like, oh, that 5 minutes that Nelson just got put CT back in the lead, or gave CT like a 15 minute lead or whatever. So it's kind of just frustrating that we don't really know if these 5 minutes have any type of consequence.
Yeah, and to that point, this is right in the part of the episode I have in my notes at this point. I'm bored. And not to shit on the challenge in general, because I think overall, I would say I enjoyed the final. But, you know, when you're talking about it moment to moment, at this point with the 10-mile kayak, while excruciatingly difficult and interesting to see CT's boat kind of capsize and deal with that, whatever, it was the same people dealing with the same things. Oh, this is hard. Oh, my partner and I are working together. Oh, my partner and I are working together terribly. Oh, my arms hurt. Oh, my boat's capsizing. Like, it just felt like the same issues, the same people experiencing the same issues because they're changing partners. There's no like arc of the relationship, which is fine, but I don't need to see as much of it because they're going to confront the same things of activity after activity.
Yeah. And it's just weird because like the results, you know, they had this great story of Ashley beating the champ and getting her win. And they had this epic, seemingly epic close battle between CT and Nelson. And they just didn't do enough to highlight that along the way, which is just bizarre. Like, if these are the results that you have, why wouldn't you build backwards to make that such a compelling stretch down the finish?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That's why I was so surprised to see that it was so tight between Nelson and CT, because we have Nelson, if my calculations are correct, we have CT finishing first at every checkpoint, team checkpoint, right? He finished first every time.
Yeah.
And then the 5 minute penalty he got canceled out with Nelson. But then I guess Nelson completed the rope thing and CT didn't.
Yeah, that's what Nelson, yeah, that's what they beat them on.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought for the last leg here, CT kind of got a stroke of luck being with Nicole here because there was no puzzle, right? Or did I miss a puzzle?
No, there was no, yeah, this was no, I mean, I guess the puzzle was just like a strategic way to pick up the buckets, but that was just like the most puzzly puzzle.
Right. So I think like Nicole, CT got the best partner for the brute strength portion. And I mean, Nelson at heart, but CT, like, to me, we're just harping on this. I'm harping on the same things that, like, I thought CT clearly won this whole time. I kind of like ignored the 30 minute penalty, just like I'm ignoring it now. And the producers really dropped the ball here.
And I, well, of course, Nelson leads the boat to go the wrong way. Classic Nelson again.
Do you like Nelson or do you not like Nelson?
I go back and forth. You know, he's like entertainingly stupid that it makes it fun.
Yeah, like nobody else in the challenge ever is that.
Yeah, but he's like a very specific Nelson way.
If Nelson was a hot girl, see also Jenna, you'd be all in.
Probably. Okay, fine. I'm biased. Yes, you got me. I'm biased towards hot girls. You got me.
All right, I'm quitting the show now. Got him. And we're out.
So what else? What
people did you rejoice.
What did you make of the individual round? This was supposedly what they're all building towards, and it was a swim.
My feeling was like, this is not how a final feels. Like, I think more so than I can remember. Like, I always complain that the momentum's broken up, but like to break up into individuals and to just like kind of, I mean, I got really excited when I saw like the two boats and you'd have to jump to the other boat, but really it was just sort of like a lean and a ride for like moment for montage fodder. And it was nice. I enjoyed seeing the montages, especially CTs. I mean, come on, like, but
a great quote by him. 15 minutes lasting 15 years. That was a good quote.
Yeah, I did a little quick math too. I was like, it's only been 14 years. And also when this was filmed, probably like 13 years. But anyway, I thought that was great. I loved seeing CT back in Paris, but this to me was not how a final is supposed to feel. This felt like a little bit more of like rites of passage on Survivor than it did like the last leg of a grueling 3-day final.
Yeah, that's what I felt too. It was just, you know, it's cool that they TJ greets all of them, but it feels like they should have building towards them. Like, I always go back to them climbing the volcano, but that was like one of the more epic things the show has ever done. And to kind of go away from something like that is kind of disappointing.
I do like that TJ dresses up for the final in his relaxed fit collared shirt.
Yes.
That was beautiful. Really turns up.
And he's so proud of everyone. You guys did it. You finished the final. I'm so proud of you. And he genuinely is proud. It's nice to see.
I don't know. There's no greater burn, I feel like, than when he announces Corey as third place and says, like, way to finish. Like,
But I don't think he's so trying. He's not even trying to burn. Like, he's just genuinely like, way to finish. Good job.
Yeah, but like, way to finish. So it's like the ultimate participation trophy is like a way to finish from TJ.
Right, right.
Did we get a single You Killed It from TJ this season?
I think he's just done with it. I think he thinks it's like jumped the shark, maybe. Like, everyone just knows about it, so he kind of just moved on.
That's a shame. I feel like he's got to lean into it. Like, maybe say it a little less, but give us a treat once in a while.
Yeah, like when it's someone like when Camilla beats Laurel, just be like, you know what, Camilla, you killed it. Like, just that's when like you like use it in important moments.
I really want to get your reaction. Again, I know I should listen to the podcast, yada, 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 and I will listen to it. I look forward to it. What was your reaction to Laura losing to Camilla?
It was stunning. It was, as of right now, I was like speechless because even during the elimination, it just seemed like Laurel was in control for a lot of it and was eventually going to pull away. And just to see Camilla win, and a lot of people were complaining, oh, it was like just like rope or whatever, but like that was a genuine physical elimination. Like, I know they weren't going head to head battling against each other, but that took a lot of endurance and physical strength. So to see Camilla win was stunning, and but it probably shouldn't have been stunning because we've been saying Camilla's looked the best she's had basically ever going into the season. So
is that what we meant by that when Corey? I feel like Corey said that, and I don't know if that's like what we meant. She like
I think it kind of goes hand to hand, right? Like when you look really good, you're probably at your peak physical performance. So
look good, feel good.
Yeah, so I think it kind of just it just added credence to that. It was just weird to see Laurel like check out, like kind of was bizarre.
Yeah, no, and that's like I think that's like the quintessential challenge elimination. I mean, maybe not the quintessential, but that is like a classic elimination. That's not like wringing a rope around and knocking down monuments. Like that is, I think that's like stood the test of time as a way to like really challenge competitors. So
yeah,
all the kudos in the world. But yeah, this is where I was worried about Nelson. When he gets second place, like Nelson is terribly upset for winning second place.
I like that though. You know, he's here to win. This is his Super Bowl. He's a crowning thing achievement. Everything he's built his entire life for. Good for him.
I don't know. Something's wrong. like something's wrong. It's one thing to be like, I really wanted first, but you know what? I like came. And if I have to lose, I lose to CT. Like something is wrong when you look clinically depressed because you came in second place on like one of your first times out of the challenge.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it. I don't think it's fake. I don't think anything he's doing is fake. I do believe it. So.
And how do you feel about a CT win?
I mean, if anyone's not happy for this, I don't know like what you find happiness in life, but I mean, it's great. I think me and Mike Bloom talked about how in not hyperbolic statement that the journey of CT is one of the great TV character journeys of anyone in any realm ever.
Oh, totally agree. And he's talking about his kid. And I'm just like, wow, this has to be like the best looking man I've ever seen on television or in real life.
Yeah,
like, wow. I mean, he's talking about this. I'm just like, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, good for you and your kid. Cool.
He's a beautiful man. He is. There's no denying it.
And then I was actually surprised when I was taking notes on this. Like, I put in the third, second, and first place for the guys, like, before they announced it. And I thought Camilla won this. Were you like surprised time wise that Ashley won, or were you expecting her to come in first?
I really had no idea who won. Like going in, I thought going throughout the entire final, I thought Camilla put herself really behind the eight ball with that puzzle performance. So I was worried there, but I didn't think Ashley or Nicole did anything that great. I mean, I guess just the fact that Ashley didn't have a debilitating, horrible round is what won it for her, because Nicole killed herself day one, Camilla killed herself day two, and Ashley was just kind of steady Eddie throughout. So I guess that's probably what won it for her.
Yeah, I agree. I thought I was happy to see Ashley win. I feel like I got what I wanted. You know, I don't know that I knew I wanted certain people to win going in, but when it was announced, I was really happy for her. I love this moment with her mom when she calls her mom and she's really overcome with emotion. And I feel like this season really did need one of the underdogs to beat the champions to make this sort of jive as a format.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would have been weird if both champs won. I think it's good to see an underdog win. So,
can we agree that this is like the most pitiful trophy in reality TV props history?
Why do they even give a trophy? Just give the oversized check. Like, that's what it should be. What do you
it
mean
was so bizarre to see this like gold painted plastic Buddha like come out like that was like something to be proud of. I mean, look, if I had it, I would display it. Let's be real. But I thought it was a strange choice.
CT saying it's going to be his kid's favorite toy. I mean, how do you just not like CT's just so lovable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that's like not safe for babies, but I'm with him. There's got to be like a lead paint issue with that gold paint.
All right, let's not take away the joy from that moment.
Oh, yeah. No, I have no joy, and my heart is a black pit of despair, and I've certainly never been a parent. So
there are some questions now I can get to. So PJ Gohan asks, do you think he asked, what partner was best for each round?
Well, I mean, you got to say CT, right? Because he won every round.
No, like who would you want to have?
I mean, besides the...
Like who would you want to have?
Oh, for each round? God, yeah. Not me for any of the three.
Right. Well, that was very clear.
I mean, you got to say not Nelson for the swim because he effed up the swim. You want Nelson for the ropes course.
Yeah.
Because I guess really Nelson won that one because they didn't. They should have clarified who came in first after the penalty.
They should have. Nelson for the rope for sure.
The first one, I guess you want CT. So then I guess you want Corey for the third because there's no puzzle. So if you had to, I mean, I'm doing the guy. So if you had to, pick one of them for each one, I would say CT, Nelson, Corey.
I would say probably Camilla for the first one, Ashley for the rope, and Nicole for the bucket and swim or the kayak.
I'm trying to think, did somebody get these? Did Ashley have those partners? No. Trying to turn pages. Anyway, I don't know. I don't have anything. Ashley had CT for the one. Anyway, it worked out.
Jillian Nicole says, can you guys give Nelson some much-needed praise? He really did well during the entire race. I did.
Good job, Nelson.
Yeah.
Way to go, buddy.
Ben Brown asked,
I agree. It is much-needed praise. Well-deserved.
Yeah, well-deserved. Well done. Ben Brown asked, does Ashley's win come with asterisk since she wasn't saddled with Corey on a day where he could completely tank her total time like it did with Camilla?
No.
Agreed.
Derek
Derek says that did Ashley become incredibly level by the end or incredibly likable? Also, why is Camilla so cocky and what does Corey kind of suck? So does Corey suck, Camilla cocky, Ashley lovable?
Okay, no, but it was like, is she lovable or is she likable?
Yeah.
So there's no other option.
No other option.
I've always liked Ashley. I think she like went mental with the toilet seat. She went mental with trying to quit out of nowhere. She definitely has a bit of a camera hog instinct, but I love her for the challenge. So I'm going to say lovable throughout.
I can easily see why people don't like Ashley. I'm tired of her like threatening to quit. That's especially near the end. That's kind of like getting old hat, but she's a great TV character. There's no denying that at all.
What was the other? Is Camilla cocky?
Yeah.
I don't feel like Camilla's cocky. Did she? I thought she handled Corey well, honestly.
Yeah,
she
could have been a lot worse.
A job.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse.
And what was the last question?
Corey kind of suck. Yes, he does. He doesn't kind of suck. He very much sucks.
Agreed. I still want to see him back, though.
No, like, I want to see him back.
Are you not excited?
He's a great. He's a good, very good TV character, but he just is awful in these finals. All right. That's pretty much everything. There was a question on the epic fails if you watched that.
I did not watch that.
It was actually pretty entertaining.
I will watch it. It's in my queue. Along with every other show on television.
A classic Big Easy quit job, which was unbelievable. when he quit on Camilla. I thought Camilla would actually murder him. Like everyone talks like Camilla wanted to murder bananas in that moment. I actually thought Camilla was gonna get off her harness and like stab Big Easy in the heart.
Do you wanna ask yourself the question and answer it because you watched?
They asked what were some of the best epic fails from earlier scenes that weren't included. Seeing they didn't go too far old school, like seeing when that the murder attempt when Veronica whoever was tried to murder someone on like the harness,
That would have been a pretty good epic fail to say. But
wasn't that Katie?
Yeah. But
wait. Hold on. We have to talk about when CT was telling Shane to be like, say I want to knock some skulls. Like, say I'm going to eat your brain. Like,
oh, we talked about that when he was.
No. You and I have not talked about it. That was the best moment of the season, far and away. And I'm jealous forever of Mike Bloom for being able to podcast about.
When you've reached the phase in your life where you can quote your own things that you said that are iconic, that's like a I'm Keith Hernandez moment.
I wanted to hear you say, I'm going to eat your brain. Like, whatever it was. I was dying quietly to myself watching that.
That was great.
So that already was the best moment that was not aired on the epic fail moments. Whatever.
There you go. So my alarm just went off. So what are the questions you want to ask?
Perfect timing. This season has been very strange format wise, and we've sort of haven't known anything as we've gone along. And now that we can look back in hindsight, do you like this format? Do you want to see another sort of maybe in either invasion or situation where we see people battling from one house to get to the next phase of the challenge?
I think this format would have been fine if when champs invaded, it was just an individual game. There were no teams. Everyone was just competing amongst them for themselves, and that was it. If that was the format, I think this really would have been a good setup. And to have the new people kind of have their own stage for a few weeks was a good idea. It was this particular format of every other week, the champs are just going to battle amongst themselves, and then they're going to go against themselves, and every other week they're safe. That wasn't good. If this was just their end, free for all, this would have been a highlight season, highlight format.
Okay, so just breaking that down quickly, it's an advantage because you would presume that potentially a lot of the underdogs are going to try to band together to work together to get the minority of the champs out. That said, the champs just by and large are better physically or better competitors than most of the underdogs. And you have people like Shane and Jenna who would probably bring Kayla, who would bring Corey, who would probably defect to the and Tony to defect to working with Bananas. So my only fear with that is that you have basically an all champs final. Like, are you okay with that in that sense? It's like, I feel
if the point of this season was to see who can beat the champs, let's see who can beat the champs. Like, let's just do that.
I think what you're saying makes more sense in terms of formatting for television, but I think the intended purpose was to ensure that you had this makeup at the end.
I guess so. I mean, I understand that. I get it's a risk that you give if you let either all the underdogs or all the champs get knocked out early, but I mean, I think that's just a risk you have just to let play out, and I think it'll play out fine no matter which way it would go.
See, I think some of the highlights of the season was one, seeing Ashley beat Camilla, two, seeing Camilla beat Laurel, Durrell v. Bananas, like CT v. Durrell, like these were, and Laurel and Kara, like these were matchups I don't think we would have seen had it been an individual. See, I mean, I know it wouldn't have been because like Laurel or Kara wouldn't have come in last in those challenges. Yeah. So I feel like it was great to see the champs get whittled down to two. But I think I agree with what you're saying. That would have been interesting too, but I liked that it kind of forced the champs to eat each other.
That's fair. I mean, it gave us some good moments, but I think this was the safe way to play it. So
I also think it's kind of disjointed as a season from the shelter part to the Oasis part to the champs to the final. Like, if I think about Challenge Invasion, it's going to like take me a while to remember all of these segments. So I think as a package of a format, it's like not really sustainable. And now that you do it again, you know the champs are coming. But that might be interesting to see the underdogs sort of confer about who they think the champs might be. And I don't know that it's ruined necessarily by being exposed, but
I don't think we would see an invasion though. I think this was just like a one-time thing.
I liked it. Now I'm just thinking out loud. I haven't thought about it. I think overall I enjoyed this season as a format. I don't think it doesn't work. It can't really be brought back.
What else?
That's it.
Oh, that was, I thought you had questions.
Oh, I thought you had questions.
No, my question was just sort of like, how do you feel?
Ah. That's how I feel. So.
All right. One bit of surprising news is I watched, I think, the first 5 episodes of Are You the One, Second Chance since I've been back. Have you watched this? You've watched
this? Yeah, I'm all caught up.
You're caught up. Is it over?
I think this week was episode 8. I believe it was 8. So I think there's probably 2 more.
That's pretty good in one day to watch 5 episodes.
You watched all 5 today?
I watched 5 episodes in one day.
That's pretty impressive.
Deal with it. Procrastination is real.
It's an easy watch, though. Like, it's not like a very strenuous show to keep your attention. So,
no, and I'm going to say I like it. I don't really understand what MTV is doing, piling on all these spinoffs at the same time. Like, I don't get it necessarily, but I'm not mad at this show. I think it's interesting. It reminded me of how much I hate Adam. Like, I never want to see Adam again.
Yes, he is the worst. I think as the season's gone on, like, Shanley's kind of got kind of a crap edit and how mean she is to him, but I love how mean she is to him, so I'm fine with it. Sucks.
I'm only 5 seasons in. I mean, 5 episodes in, but like, I have no problem with the way Shanley's behaving towards Adam.
Yeah, but it's been great. Like, Tori's been amazing. Have you looked at the new cast for the season 30?
So I have, but I've heard somebody on Twitter adamantly denying their involvement, even though they're on the cast list. So I don't know how much. Veronica. Wow, that was weird. I have a really good friend named Victoria. Okay. Veronica has like adamantly denied and how ridiculous it is, and she'd never come back. And Shane has like retweeted that many times and was like, I know, I tell them you're not interested.
All right. Well, I guess we'll have to see. I think it's filming now. There was a picture tweeted out today. Looked like they were doing the trivia challenge. So that's very exciting.
So could you see anyone in the picture?
I think if you could, I'm sure there's people who can like zoom in and like cross reference from like other pictures. I didn't do that deep a dive to see who was still in, but it just seemed like they were like over an edge, like kind of leaning back, so it seemed like trivia.
Now, is that gonna air like tomorrow? Like, what is MTV doing?
I have to hope it wouldn't be until at least like September, October, but who the hell knows?
And will you be watching? I'm assuming you talked about Challenge versus Champs versus Pros.
I mean, I'll be watching. We don't have plans to do anything podcast wise about it. Maybe we'll include it in our 3-year anniversary think tank, but I mean, I'll be watching.
I just like, I vented frustrations about this to Mike Bloom and none of them made any sense, and what he said made more sense, but like, I don't get what is happening with this franchise. And like, I guess I should be happy that MTV is investing in it and promoting it and expanding it, but like, this to me feels like a jump the shark moment. Had to have Champs versus professional athletes. Like, this is the splash, like, celebrity diving competition of the challenge in my mind.
It's very bizarre. And like, they got some pretty big names, like not big names, but like some things that made me go, wow, these people are willing to do an MTV show. So it'd be jump the shark if these people turn around and go on like season 31. Like some of the pros, that would be super
weird.
Oh,
that's not happening. That's not happening.
it is
very weird that they're doing this. And I mean, they have to imagine this probably cost them a decent amount of money, because normally for people, they can pay a lot of the rookies like dog shit to go on the show. But I can't imagine someone like CM Punk is going on an MTV show for nothing. Like, I have to imagine he's getting paid a decent amount of money.
I don't know. I think MTV is like putting real money behind the challenge, and that's great, and Are You the One and all these things. And to me, Are You the One, Second Chances, it's a little Amazing Racy for me, but I like that the challenges are like relationship building based, and I think the cast has been really good, some surprises, some not. Some people expect to be good, but this the challenge versus pros concerns me. I don't get it.
It's just weird. I mean, it's weird timing to do it. If anything, I would think they would do it as a lead up to 30, not like before, like right after 29. It would be like before season 30, here's a 3-week special of some of the best champs in the show's history going against pros. And I'm like, all right, that's a little fun thing to do before their monumental 30th season. But just to do like randomly in the spring, like months before season 30 is going to air, it's like a weird timing.
And then also like, because usually MTV would have Are You the One as the summer show. I'm still upset that MTV moved Are You the One to the winter. whatever it is.
Who, they might have like four Are You Ones every year now.
Well, they didn't have Are You the One last summer, did they? Or they had it in the summer and then had another one in the winter? Is that what happened?
I think so, didn't they? Because they, I didn't think.
But there's no talk over? About another Are You the One.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
So I don't know what's happening. I guess it's
actually good. No, that's not true. Because one of my friends of friends got a callback to be interviewed for Are You the One. So just kidding.
That's funny. I actually have a friend of a friend who's also in that stage. But that doesn't mean it's gonna like it couldn't.
No, possibly, I mean that. Yeah, I mean that could
film this summer.
Right.
Okay, I found the tweet. So Veronica tweeted on May 2nd, just watched the challenge. Can't believe Shane went back and people actually think I would. Hashtag nope, hashtag never. And people have been like, rumored has it, whatever, that you were coming back. She wrote, sorry. And then somebody said, there are preview/promos playing on MTV for the challenge champs versus pros. And I saw this and it's, I guess they used a clip of Veronica's helmet and she was like, oh, you found me. Like she just is, everyone keeps saying things and she, oh, so then and Shane wrote, I know they keep asking me and I'm like, hell no, geez, she's chilling. So Veronica is adamantly suggesting that she's not on the show. Take that for what you will.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to say.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past her to be just like completely lying on Twitter. Why wouldn't she? But
right. Or it's probably like if she just hired someone to take over her Twitter, because if she is tweeting, then she's obviously not on the show.
That would be amazing for like to have someone take over your Twitter and just tweet like denial that you're going to be on the show. Right. Who knows? Who could say? Not us for sure.
So anything else to put a bow on? Well, so that reunion is next week because like I said, this season will be going on for the rest of time. So that'll be interesting.
I'm supposed to find a sub for that.
Yes, because I will be
TBD.
MIA.
TBD on that show. We'll do something.
What do you
we'll
make
be
of them,
me in the sub?
Do you like the fact that they don't do a reunion right after the finale? They're doing it as a lead-in to the
No, I think it's ridiculous. Like I miss that too. Like, all right, the benefit of going through half a challenge, like it's exactly what you just said is right, not just, but what you said this episode is correct of if this were one episode, it would be like a sweet finale, but it's a little stretched out and there's still great moments, but there are moments that drag. And usually the reward for getting through the second half of the finale where it's just really dragged out is getting an action packed reunion show. Yeah. And the fact that that stands alone next week as a lead in to a show I don't even understand that they're doing and I think threatens the very future of the show that I love, I'm not happy about it.
And if anything, this is one of the... For me, one of the more highly anticipated reunions because this is the first time in many seasons where they had zero after shows throughout the entire season. So we don't know what any of these people are thinking or feeling throughout everything. So they can discuss the entire season and it's just like tossed aside. So
who can say if you watch the reunion, Brian, I don't know where you're going to be next week. If you end up watching it before I get around to podcasting it, feel free to text me your thoughts. Maybe I'll just do a podcast with me and your pre-done text. Even don't even watch the reunion, just like text me now what you think your thoughts like Rupert tweet style will be.
Okay,
and I will just do the show myself and read in a Brian voice.
First tweet, Nelson is so dumb.
That's boom. Great boom, show over, that's it. Anyway, I'm sorry, it's been a while.
Welcome back though.
See, I'm already miserable. I started the podcast happy, now miserable again. We're all fine.
You're even just internet adjacent and the misery is already sucking you down.
It's that's nothing to do with the internet. It's just, you know, it's the microphone fumes.
Bad memories.
Doesn't make any sense.
So congrats to CT and Ashley.
Yeah, winners, you denied me.
Winners of season 29. I almost said Battle of the Invasion. What was this even called? Invasion of the Champions.
Battle of the Maze.
my brain is starting this short circuit. So that'll do it. You can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me at CohenBrian_.
And because you know that reunion podcast is gonna be hot, so
it's gonna
definitely
be popping.
Subscribe.
It's gonna be popping. They can follow you at Lash Tweets. Until next time, have a good one.